Most bankers aren't ready to help you until after their third cup of coffee. But with Central National Bank's after-hours service, you don't have to wait for the bank lobby to open to get help. You can contact us from 6 to 8:30 in the morning or from 5 to 10 in the evening, and we'll connect you to a real, live, local person who can answer questions and fix problems 7 days a week. Bank different. Bank Central. Central National Bank. Member FDIC.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is a Rogue Media Network podcast.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How is your social battery right now? Are you drained, bursting with energy? It's at this level because maybe you don't have enough boundaries, less social in the winter. There can be many reasons. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you just need some more time alone. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself, and it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/365 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/365.
This is 365 Sports, powered by Sikkim365.com.
Ryan, the Elite Eight shook out almost exactly as it should have. I don't think anybody had NC State in the Final Four, on their bingo card, but it's here. We get to see some old school center big time mashers. Can DJ Burns give Zach Edey more problems than he's had so far?
I guess that's sort of the million-dollar question, right? I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that matchup goes. I think for me, when I'm looking at this matchup, I'm not as much worried for NC State's sake on the defensive end guarding Zach Edey. I think they have a lot of guys down low, not just Burns, Diarra, and Middlebrooks that they can throw at him to give him, some problems. For me, it's more of on the offensive end, because if you've watched NC State over the last, couple of weeks while they've been making this run, they kind of just, they throw it down into DJ Burns and they're just like, do something for us. Mm-hmm. Like either he's going to bully his way to the hoop. He's great with his left hand. Or he's an amazing passer too. So he's going to find one of those open shooters out there. The thing is though, is, he's going to be matched physically by Zach Edey, obviously. So it'll be interesting to see just sort of, I doubt they're going to throw a second defender ever at him while Edey is guarding him. So I think NC State's going to have to sort of mix up how they do things offensively. And I think that could end up giving them a lot of problems on the offensive end.
Ryan, we've seen the various stats of just how improbable it is that NC State's in the spot that they're in, the various percentages, when they started off the tournament. But just how shocked are you to see the Wolfpack in the spot that they're in tomorrow?
I mean, man, it's incredible. I mean, this is why we love March. This is why March is what it is. And, you know, I saw a couple of tweets that was like, you know, that semifinal game against Virginia in the ACC tournament, when they had to throw up Virginia missed a free throw that would have put them up four. And then NC State came down and just threw up a miracle shot that banged in. And that's really the difference from them being in the Final Four and them not even making the tournament. Like that's just how crazy it is. But man, I mean, they finished the regular season. I think they lost either four straight or five straight games. And I mean, they just look like a completely different team. I mean, you see the way they play together. You know, Burns has been just a revelation, one of the most fun players to watch in the tournament that I can remember. And you know, they got great guards around them that can all shoot and can all get buckets. So it's been amazing to watch, really.
There's a couple people on our chat room that say that I'm a UConn stan now all of a sudden because I talked about how great they've been and dominant they've been. This is a tough matchup for Alabama. Is there anyone who can legitimately get in UConn's way?
You know, it's an interesting matchup with Alabama. I've sort of been neutral on Alabama for much of the year. You know, just because of how really poor they've been defensively. But, you know, they just want to push the ball as much as possible. They want to create as many possessions as possible. They want to shoot as many threes as they possibly can. And, you know, UConn is, they've had a couple of games this tournament where they've been fine pushing the ball up and down the court. But, you know, I really don't think that UConn wants to get in a track match with Alabama because I think that's going to end up being their best chance to get knocked off. So it's going to be interesting to see like how they play this. I think that even with all the weapons that Alabama has offensively, that UConn is pretty confident in a half court setting that they'll be able to, you know, keep them, you know, out of the lane and contest threes and things like that. So, yeah, I honestly think if the game gets going the right way, I think that the UConn Alabama game might end up being closer than the NC State Purdue game.
So if we do get Purdue and UConn, I mean those are you know two one seeds, and it would have gone chalk. We would get Klingon versus Edie. Obviously, they're a little bit different, but. Are you, I mean, again, DJ Burns could present him different challenges, but Klingon is maybe more like him, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I think, you know, when the bracket came out and I think throughout much of this year, a lot of people felt that the best two teams were UConn and Purdue. And, you know, there's been a lot made. I think there's been a lot of Zach Edey hate going around, and you know, maybe it's warranted, maybe it isn't. I don't think he's a particularly exciting player to watch because he's just so much bigger than everybody, and it's just you have to double team him, or it's an automatic bucket, and he's going to get fouled quite a bit. You're going to see him shooting double digit free throws every single game, basically. But when you have a guy like Klingon that can physically match up to Zach Edey the way that he can. I mean, that's, you know, March is about matchups. And I don't, just thinking back on the tournament the last several years, and if that were to indeed happen, I don't know if there's a more anticipated matchup, like just positional matchup, than that would be. Because I think if you took, If anybody in the country is going to be able to stop Zach Edey, I think it would be Donovan Klingon, just because he's pretty much that same sort of build. And then you get sort of a battle of, you know, whose guard play is the best. And so, I mean, we'll see. They each obviously have a game to go, but man, that would be absolute Cinema Monday night if that ended up happening.
Yeah, would. All right, so let's talk some of the goings on outside of the Final Four. Transfer portal is in full swing now. Look, I know you're a Kansas guy. What do you think about what the Jayhawks have done so far?
Yeah, I mean, they made some nice pickups. You know, Riley Kugel, obviously, coming over from Florida. I thought that he's a very solid player. And then Zeke Mayo coming over from South Dakota State. You know, he's a Lawrence boy, so, you know, I'm sure he was jumping at the opportunity to come back and play for his Jayhawks. And so it's going to be interesting to see what Kansas says. You know, Dickinson, I think most people believe he will be back for another year. KJ Adams already said he was going to come back. DeJuan Harris already said he was going to come back. So then you sort of get into a question of, you know, Kevin McCullough can be gone, obviously, but does Johnny Furphy into the draft? Does he come back? I think I think he could use one more year just from a physical standpoint. I'm not sure if he could come in right away and compete on the NBA level, but man, if they get him back, adding some of these transfers in, they have a nice solid recruiting class. I mean, it's hard for me to say because, you know, last year we were coming in with the same sort of thing. They had a very solid recruiting class. They had, you know, probably the best player to ever enter the transfer portal in Hunter Dickinson. And, you know, here we are. It doesn't even make the second weekend. So, I mean, there's a lot of things happen between now and then. But, you know, Bill Self, you know, he had those comments, right, where he was saying he was sort of already looking forward to next season before the season even ended. And, I mean, hopefully that ends up paying off for them.
Ryan, what do you think about the possibility of Jerome Tang to Arkansas?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. You know, it sounds like it's kind of between Tang and Chris Beard at the moment. Those are sort of the two names that I've heard the most. Sounds like Tang is kind of the front runner. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens because, you know, Doug McDaniel, who was, you know, Michigan's best player last year, he just committed to Kansas State last week. And so that's going to be interesting to see, like, does he just follow Jerome Tang if he does end up going to Arkansas, and sort of how that shakes out. Listen, I mean, you know, obviously he's paid his dues, right? You guys are very familiar, you know, with him over the years in Baylor and all the great things he did. I mean, last year that was an incredible, incredible run that they put together with largely when he came in. I mean, there was nobody on that roster. And he took him all the way to the Elite Eight. And that's, you know, I do really think he's a great coach. But I honestly, like, you know, I really don't know how much of an upgrade, maybe you guys can chime in on this, like, how much of an upgrade do you think from a college basketball standpoint, like Kansas State to Arkansas? He was just sort of getting his feet wet there, and I felt like he was building a solid culture, and now he's just, you know, going to go over there. But what are you guys saying?
This isn't Nolan Richardson's Arkansas anymore. You know, this isn't 40 minutes of hell. So I don't know, like, I know it's the SEC and they're about to have more money and all those, you know, they do have more money and they're about to have even more, you know, when it comes to, you know, all the stuff that's going to be flowing into the athletic department and that. Craig, I don't know if it is necessarily an upgrade from Kansas State like it would have been in the past.
I mean, I think it might be a slight upgrade, if anything. I don't think it's a major, like, oh, there's a no doubt, or
not going to Kentucky, yeah, or North Carolina or Duke.
It's not that at all. It's more along the lines of, I think, Louisville fans thinking about how they were versus how they are. I think Arkansas, there's some of that of thinking about how they were rather than how they are. But, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think it's a massive step up by any means. I don't think it's just a no-brainer, like, oh, God, Arkansas came calling. I got to leave now. I think it more would be about the relationships or the leadership lack thereof at K-State, and just some of the being on the outs there potentially that would push him. But, yeah, it's not a slam dunk in my mind.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Ryan, who is the biggest name in the transfer portal that you could see kind of shifting the balance of power?
Yeah, you know, I don't actually think this particular class is quite as good as last year's transfer portal class. And again, we have, you know, a few weeks here for things to sort of heat up a little bit more. You know, there's a couple Stanford guys in there that have been pretty good. Maxime Reynaud, he's a center, 7-1 center for Stanford. A lot of people really like his game. You know, you got John L. Davis from Florida Atlantic with, you know, his coach obviously moving on to Michigan. So yeah, I mean, it's really tough to say here. AJ Storr is another one, you know, from Wisconsin who, you know, can just absolutely get a bucket. Tucker DeVries, we talked about, last week, you know, going to West Virginia. As I look at it, I don't really see, you know, any one player that's going to make.
There's not a Caleb Love.
As you said, I don't really see that this year. Last year, I think you had a lot of big names, and again, we're pretty early in the process still. But you know, there's a lot of nice pieces. I think one thing that is kind of interesting is just the way, you know, with the transfer portal having as many players as it does year in and year out, just thinking about, you know, the way a decade ago that the best teams were constructed with all the one-and-done players for Kentucky and Duke and those types of things. It seems like that's, you know, if you really want to get – to where we are now in March, well, I guess in April, if you want to make it to April, you know, it's not necessarily about, you know, the freshmen that you get coming in. I feel like it's really taken a turn to where it's like the top, the 20th place guy in the transfer portal mm-hmm. might, you know, end up being better for a season than, you know, somebody that's the fifth best freshman recruit in the country, just because of all this stuff and just becoming an adult and learning all these, the playbook and things like that. So it's been really interesting to see just college basketball evolve like that in the transfer portal the way it is now.
Okay. Last question. What are your thoughts on Bronny James and where he, I mean, I know LeBron's one of the closest friends is now the head coach at Duquesne. And there's some thought that maybe even wind up from USC to Duquesne, or maybe Eric Musselman can keep him, or do we even know how good he is?
Well, I think here's the thing is, right, you know, he had obviously the health scare, you know, last offseason. I think that really, you know, set him back. So I don't think it was completely fair to judge everything that we saw this season at USC. You know, yeah, you mentioned Duquesne. For me, I would just like to see Bronny just, you know, get away from home, get away from LA, get away from everything, and just let this kid develop. I mean, obviously, you know, because of the name, there's going to be talk and hype and all that stuff. But I think, like, if he were to go to, like, I was thinking about this today, like a Gonzaga or somebody like that, Mark Few, who's turned out a bunch of solid NBA players over the last several years, and you play in, you know, the WCC, where, you know, there's not quite the amount of attention every single night that, you know, some of these other programs have. I kind of think that would be an interesting fit, and especially with, you know, how fast, you know, few teams play and just how good they are offensively. I think something like that would be kind of interesting, but I mean, hey, you never know. I know he's testing the, you know, the draft process to get some feedback, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think everybody would love to see him, right? Like just, you know, start averaging, you know, 17, 18 points a game, and we get to watch him in the tournament and that sort of thing. But, you know, maybe that's not in the cards, but I think just giving him a couple years to develop would be nice.
Ryan Andrade from RotoWire.com. Go to RotoWire. They've got tons of stuff breaking it down, fantasy sports, gambling, all the different things you need numbers for. RotoWire does it. News. It's a fantastic website. I've been using it for fantasy sports for years. And we'll be doing a lot more with RotoWire here in the future. Ryan, have a great weekend. Enjoy the Final Four.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
There we go. So, Ryan Andrade from rotowire.com.
This has been a Rogue Media Network production.